Hey, what's going on? Ah, this fucking damn thing. I ordered this stupid part. I swear to God, I'm picking it up today. God damn it. Let me hold it on to it like a terrorist for the last time. Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr. It's time for the Thursday afternoon, just before Friday, Monday morning podcast. And I'm just checking in on you. How the fuck was your goddamn Christmas? Why is this wire all fucked up? God fucking damn it. I swear to Christ. I said this was the last fucking time I was doing this. Didn't I? Isn't that what I said? You know what's really fucking amazing? Is the abilities for wires to just get all fucking... You look at it, it's like, how did that happen? How the fuck did this whole fucking thing go down like this? It's the headphones. Fucking headphones. All right. Hang in there for fuck's sakes. Yeah, you feel better because I'm losing my shit. Does that make you feel better about your fucking cubicle dwelling fucking life? Well, I hope it does. I hope it does because I'm all about the positive vibes in the 2-1 nizzy to 2019. How are you? Did you have a merry little Christmas? Did you get through it without arguing? Oh, I forgot to give you guys that pep talk. Don't take the fucking bait. All right? If one of your siblings is a Trump supporter, or they're a fucking liberal Larry, or they're a centrist. Centrist Susan. You know her. Never picks a side. Jesus Christ. Only fucking person I know could meet a serial killer and be like, well, I guess I can understand why you need to feed. Oh, yeah, really? Talk to me when you end up in a trunk, Susan. There's no reason to do that. There's no reason to do it because you're not going to get what you want, which is the satisfaction of the other person going, oh, my God, I never realized how right you are. It wasn't until you called me a closed-minded fuckhead that I just stopped and paused and was like, wait a minute. Am I a closed-minded fuckhead? Am I a closed-minded... You don't fucking believe what Kathy just called me a closed-minded fuckhead. Yeah, on Christmas, it's like, hello? Coal in your stocking much? You know what I fucking can't stand? I can't stand when new speak comes out there. I get it back in the day, you know, when we were cavemen walking around like, doing that shit, you know? You had to come up with some fucking words. So you wouldn't, like, be asking for, you know, some water, but yet sound like you were jerking off. Man, that's the noises I make. That's why I do it in my garage. Don't want to bother anybody. No, and I also understand it. If something new comes along, you know, like an iPod, what were you supposed to call it? A little stereo? I don't fucking know, right? I understand those words. I just hate when new fucking words come around and then everybody just starts fucking saying them. It drives me up the fucking wall, especially like on Twitter. When there's the new or Instagram, and they just come and they go. Remember that for a while, like when you posted something, someone would just go, this, you know? And then what's some other that stupid shit out there? I can't fucking stand. It just drives me up. It's so fucking unoriginal. I had somebody give me shit saying something I tweeted wasn't funny, and they used a GIF. And I wrote the guy back. At least I'm fucking writing my own jokes, you fucking hack. Someone had to, like, fucking think of a funny response to my unfunny joke for you with a little video on it, and now you feel like you're clever. I just drives me up the fuck, you know? I just got back into working out, right? Fucking, if I hear one more fucking, you know, because I got those TRX bands. All right, if I hear one more douche tell me that I'm engaging my core, you mean working my abs? You fake tan cunt?
And what's great about these is you're always a little off balance, so you're always engaging your core.
You don't board a plane anymore. You expedite the boarding process. Stop acting like you got a degree, you fucking waitress.
You guys could not put your jackets in the overhead compartment so we can expedite the boarding process?
Trying to sound like you have a fucking law degree? You're on here for one fucking reason only, and that's for cheap airfare. Stop acting like it was a dream. I like to travel. I like to wear a uniform. I like to expedite the boarding process while engaging my core. This hashtag shaking my head. Let me ask you fucking Twitter cunts a question. How many times have you hashtag shaking my head and you actually were shaking your head? I'm trying to think last time I fucking shook my head. Actually, I probably do it a lot. It's when I try to keep my fucking cool while I'm driving. This fucking guy. Oh my, these fucking assholes out here on the highways. The way they pass you on the right-hand side, it's unbelievable. You can get into the left lane doing like 40 miles an hour. You want to get off the highway, you got to be doing like 120. And you watch them pass you doing 80. And you look in their lane and there's a guy a quarter mile away and they're going to have to stomp on the fucking brakes. I think it's just psychological out here that there's so much traffic that you just think to yourself, like, you know, anytime there's an open space, you're like, ah, you just fucking floor it. Or maybe I'm just that douche who has, like, the baby on board sign in his head. I have no idea. But speaking of cars,
my latest obsession.
If I was going to buy a car right now, all right, if I was a single man, if I didn't have a child, if I had a full head of hair to flow in the breeze, I would get the Porsche Targa, the fast one, all right, in lava orange, just like my pubes, because I am a child of the 70s, and remember that shit in Boogie Nights, when Philip Seymour Hoffman, rest his soul, is talking to Mark Wahlberg's character, and he says how the Corvette is in competition orange. That was my favorite fucking detail. 70s detail. Competition orange. Oh, he didn't have one. He had Mark Wahlberg's character got the Corvette in competition orange, and then Philip Seymour Hoffman showed up with like a Datsun 240Z or something. Still a decent car, right? But it's no Corvette. Anyways, I got to see what that looks like, because I hope it's not a red orange. I'd want an orange. You know, there's a lot of things right now. It's just like, I don't know, everybody's got to start fucking with the colors. But that thing, and it's got the automatic fucking rooftop. It was actually Porsche enthusiasts who were engaging their core when they pressed the fucking send button on their YouTube comment, were complaining. Actually complaining. The old one, you had to do it by hand and then fold up the cloth top and then put it in the bonnet, as they say overseas. Put it under the fucking hood. Now this one, you just push a button. The back end lifts up a little bit and then the top fucking goes down like that. And it's a fucking work of art. And there's all these cunts writing like, leave it to the Germans to take something really simple and make it a fucking, what, make it fucking perfect? Someone's like, well, I would be concerned if there were somebody could buy behind me. I mean, that comes a good 2 feet up behind the car. Well, then fucking pull up, make the tires do one rotation and then push your button.
I'm amazed that when they designed this.
Are you amazed? The fuck are you ever designed? Oh, why am I in such a mood? You know what? I had a bad night's sleep. I had this dream that I was playing the Wilbur Theater in Boston, Massachusetts. One of my favorite promoters out there, Bill Blumenreich, he was in my dream, and he was talking the way he talks, going, "Hey, Bill, I saw that article they wrote about you, and you really said some mean things about me." I was like, what are you talking about? I would never say mean things about you. I love you. He goes, no, I just kind of came off a little mean. So I felt like an asshole. Like, however I was joking about him, somebody, it came off as fucking mean. So I had to apologize to him. And then I go out on stage. This was a stress dream. Because I hadn't been on stage in like 5 fucking days. And I got this European tour coming up. So I just booked myself at the Comedy Store starting last night right through Sunday. Just going to do as much stage time as I can. And I had a great set last night. I don't know. It's just, I think, you know, I just know I got to fucking, I need to do all these nights. And then I'll be fine when I go to Europe. But whatever. So I go out on stage in my dream on the Wilbur Theater. And if for some reason, it's like 6 stories in the air. 6 stories up, and there's people way down below who clearly can't see me, and I feel like I have to walk to the edge of the stage, but I don't want to fall down. And I'm making fun of it, and nobody's laughing. I'm just bombing. And for some reason, I'm on eye level with the 6-story balcony level, and they're just staring at me, and I'm not doing well. And then halfway through my set, and there's all these obstructions too. Like I'm walking and all of a sudden I'm like behind some giant pole and nobody's laughing. And I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck am I doing? And at one point I was laying down on the stage, crawling towards the edge because it was also really dark and I couldn't see how deep it went down. I dropped the mic down there. Somebody turned on a record player and I shut it off and it was just like, hey, we're the Monkees. You know, it slowed down. It wasn't that song. I don't know why I just picked that. Maybe because I'm a dancing monkey on stage. I have no fucking idea. And then halfway through it, one of the few comics that I don't like in this business came fucking walking out like the selfish cunt that he or she is and picked up like a little square fridge that you'd have when you lived in like a studio apartment. And I was like, really? And the person was like, yeah, really? And they just fucking took it and started walking out. And I said the person's name. I said, from the bottom of my heart, I fucking hate you. And then I quickly shut up because I knew everybody in the crowd was going to film it. And what's funny is I don't really hate this person in real life. I just fucking avoid him. You know, that's what a great thing about getting older is you stop hating people. You just sort of like you avoid them, even if you're sitting next to them. You just mentally avoid them. You just like, okay, I know who you are. I know how you act. And this is what I expect. So I'm not going to get upset. I'm just fucking not going to engage in it, you know? And then somewhere along the line, they turned the lights on and I realized that I wasn't 6 stories in the air, that the stage was still the same height it usually was. And then all of a sudden the microphone worked and I could start, you know, doing my job and I started killing again. So maybe the dream was, Bill, you have an irrational fear about taking 4 or 5 days off from stand-up. I will tell you, last night, I went on stage, and I got this new Michelle Obama bit that was bombing, you know, because she's so fucking precious, you know what I mean? I don't know why. Out of all the first ladies, every first lady has always been made fun of. Her, for some fucking reason, is like off-limits. So, you know, as a comedian, something is off limits. I mean, you know, you kind of have to steer the ship towards it at one point just for the fun of it, right? So last night was the first night I started to get it to work. And I tried another bit, you know, about this gay kid, you know. Parents didn't know she was gay, and the parents were like, well, those fucking people that think you can pray away being gay. What can you pray away? Oh, I went to church, by the way. I got there late, you know. I felt bad. I got there right as the fucking guy was starting his homily. And I was like, ah, fuck. And then part of me was psyched because I didn't have to sit through the first 2 readings. They really switched up the words a lot. The shit that you say, they switched it up a lot. I was like, is this like some West Coast thing? My mother-in-law's like, nah, they kind of changed it up. You know? It used to be peace be with you and also with you. They like added a bunch of words like peace be with you and I I concur that also and would wish that upon you too, sir slash ma'am. You got to say all that before you fucking shake hands with somebody. I don't know. I hadn't been to church in a while. I literally thought my suit was going to catch on fire when I walked in there. It's when you know you're a piece of shit. You know, you haven't been there in a while. You just walk in and you're just thinking of all the shit God would be saying to you if he really exists. And you're just walking in going, I know, I know. You know, and then after a while you get stubborn and be like, well, you know, dude, you know, technically you made me. So whatever my fucking flaws are, I know you have this convenient excuse of the devil. You know what I mean? I mean, what the fuck? Hey, you know, I made you perfect, but you listened to the devil. Well, didn't you make the devil too? Isn't all of this your fucking grand scheme? Right? I actually, when I look at God that way, right, if he exists, if, you know, and it is a he. Okay, because at the end of the day, you know, when you really look at the world, most of the great things that were created were done by men. And I don't know why I have to shy away from that in this progressive. You know, ladies, why don't you put your fucking brains where your mouths are and fucking start inventing some shit? And I know you're going to come at me with this fucking list that is impressive to you. But what I also want you to Google, my feminist little friends, is what have men invented? And you watch that fucking, that's fucking Dan Marino, 1984. 48 touchdowns, 5,800 fucking yards, when he could still beat the shit out of a wide receiver and a quarterback. Having said that, I respect women, and I feel you're very brave anytime you put on your lab coat and sit down to make a new widget. And it's so much harder for a woman to put on a lab coat. I'm just trying to make sure I have it all down. Because someday I would like to host an award show, and I have to make sure that I'm the fucking zombie that they're looking for. I'll come out and do a monologue just talking about how dumb men are and how we can't even figure out how to dress ourselves without women, you know, all of that shit. And they'll just fucking eat it up. That's another thing I fucking hate. You know what I hate? I hate when a running back gets like fucking 40 carries and he has like 47 yards and then he finally breaks one for about 15 and then he gets up and he does that eating a bowl of oatmeal thing. It's like, buddy, we've been feeding you the fucking ball all goddamn game. Why don't you go look at your fucking yardage average? You 2.7 yards per carry, cunt. Hey, Bill, how about something positive? All right, I got something positive for you. I watched this fucking Celtics versus the Philadelphia 76ers. Sixers! You know who fucking blew me away in that game? Is that Joel Embiid. Is that how you say his name? I'm not looking it up because I can't spell it. Evidently, that guy played soccer or football, as they call it, over the fucking seas there. Until late in his life. I got to tell you something. That guy is like a ridiculous factor when he's on the court. And I know he's one of the guys in the league, but I don't think he's getting the respect he deserves. That fucking guy is a problem on both ends of the court, blocking shots, getting rebounds, scoring points, fucking assists, moves great for a big man. I am praying to the basketball gods. Look at me. I'm going to church. I'm fucking all about every god out there now. Can't you feel the joy that's coming back into my life? It's like the end of the Grinch, isn't it? I am praying to the basketball gods that the Celtics and 76ers are going to fucking play again. I don't even care if we lose. That's how much I enjoy that playoff series from back in the day when I used to watch Andrew Toney and Dr. J, Bobby Jones, Billy Cunningham, all those motherfuckers coming to town. Daryl Dawkins the first time through, and then it was Moses. Anyways, what the fuck was I just going to talk about? Oh, I remember. Oh, so I'm reading this book on Bob Cousy and Bill Russell called The Last Pass. Does that really count as reading, by the way, to read about sports? I don't think it does. It's like a long sports page as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if I brought this up already. I forget. But like for the longest time, I thought that the first NBA basketball player with a sneaker deal was Michael Jordan. Now, he might have had his name on the sneaker, but then I found out that those red and white Converse were called the Dr. J's. But I don't remember them having his name on it initially. So then I'm reading this book, and I find out that Bob Cousy in like 1962 or 63 had his own sneaker. He signed a deal with PF Flyers, and it looks like a bootleg Chuck Taylor. And I found a pair on fucking eBay for $155. I didn't buy them, but because I'm not a sneakerhead, yo. Yo, you see the new Jordan 48s? What are they up to, by the way? What are they up to? It is amazing that 30 years has gone by. He must have a new sneaker every year. I would say they're on the Jordan 32s. Let's look this. Well, let's finish this story. So Bob Cousy, that's the one. I'm kind of fascinated by that whole sneaker culture as far as like, you know, all the different, like, do you got the Sedale 3-4s or whatever, you know? Jordan's 2019. Let's see what they got coming up. What do they got in the fucking sneaker barrel? Air Jordan 1 retro sample. Oh, it was a sample, so that's not exactly what they came out with. And they want $4,000 for those. Are you fucking kidding me? What do you do? What do you sneakerheads do? You put them on the wall so you feel like you're always in a Foot Locker? Air Jordan release 2018. All right, let's see. What are they up to here? Air Jordan 12. How the fuck are they only on the 12? All right, Air Jordan 9. Dude, Verzi sent me a text the other day. It was fucking hilarious. He's like, dude, Jordan 3 Mocha. Fucking over. And it was the Jordan 3s with this mocha color cement thing. And I fucking died laughing. I mean, he's like that fucking chick there with the thin head, Sarah Jessica Parker on Sex and the City. Except rather than talking about fucking high heels, he's talking about sneakers. Anyway, so Bob Cousy had a pair of PF Flyers. And you know with the little circle is on the Chuck Taylor? It was his face, and it said Bob Cousy on it. And they were black, and they had a little green trim on them. So that's as far back. For all you fucking sneakerheads there, I know Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he had his own. Did he have his own sneaker at UCLA? The low-top Adidas? I don't know, but who was like the first guy actually had like his name on it, though? Because I think maybe the Dr. J Converse just said, were just nicknamed the Dr. J's, but they said Converse. So let me look that up. Dr. J Converse. See, this is why I like talking shit about things, because then I end up getting into it. Like fucking the Premier League. All right, let's see here. Yeah, those are the classic Converse All-Stars. I don't see his name on it. Oh, and then eventually they did. But the original one, one of the cleanest fucking shoes ever that for some reason, I think the newer ones said, when I was a kid, they didn't say Dr. J on them. And now I'm looking at a really old pair and those ones say Dr. J. So I think after a while they said Dr. J. And those things look like they came out before the Air Jordan. But as far as I can tell, the Bob fucking Cousy. The Cousy ones, dude. There was somebody fucking way back. Cousy ones with a pork pie hat. Fucking over, see? All right, let me look at some stuff here. I missed the last two Liverpool games. I got all wrapped up in the holidays, and I cannot fucking believe this. I don't know anything about the Wolverhampton Wanderers, but somehow we lost to them. We beat Newcastle United 4-0, but the fucking Wolves, these guys don't even look like they're there's nothing premier about their uniform, their fucking name, or anything. What happened? Mohamed Salah and Virgil van Dijk struck the claim. Oh, no, they won. Wait a minute. That doesn't make any fucking sense. That doesn't make any fucking sense. Because we beat Manchester United 3-1, and it says 3-1. And then it says fucking 0-2. So I guess they do that all because that was an away game. Ah, you cheeky cunts. All right, I learned something else. That's how they do it. Okay. So they got Arsenal, 1-0 Arsenal. Coming up, the only Premier League game I've ever been to. I told you, they played Everton. It was fucking hilarious. And they went up 1-0. They started singing 1-0 Arsenal. And halfway through the fucking song, Everton scored. And this little blue puff of smoke came up. The 40 Everton fans were going fucking nuts. And all the Arsenal people had to shut the fuck up. I love when that happens. I was watching a Ranger game earlier this year. And fucking, as always, Henrik Lundqvist was playing unbelievable. And the whole garden is going, Henrik Lundqvist. Henrik Lundqvist or whatever. And as they're chanting it, the other team fucking scored. Ah, that's what you get. All right, let's look at some Google news here. We'll start with the greatest country in America, the United States of America. All right, after Trump visits Iraq, lawmakers demand U.S. withdrawal. Finally. Let's get the fuck out of there. We're going bankrupt. Iraqi lawmakers demand U.S. withdrawal. Baghdad, Iraqi lawmakers, this is the greatest thing that could fucking happen to us if we combine it with solar power and electric cars. All right? You got to hit them where it hurts, just like the feminists do. The feminists go after the money. They go after the advertisers. This is what the fuck you got to do in the Middle East. All right? Truly the great thing, though, is if we pull out, I believe they'll just go back. Unfortunately, because I don't have a problem with Middle Eastern people. I just have a problem with cunts, okay? And cunts, they're everywhere, right? As long as you're not a cunt, I don't have a problem with you. So I think that they'll go back to trying to fucking, you know, deal with each other. Hopefully not in a violent way, but you know it's going to be. But I always looked at it like the way when Russia withdrew from fucking Europe, everybody was like, okay, where were we? And they just picked up with their fights again. It's really pathetic. I, for the life of me, I'll never understand how war is legal. You know, we're sitting here like working on gender-neutral bathrooms while war is still legal. I mean, it's just fucking nuts. You know what it is? I think it's because they keep updating the war the weapons, so it seems modern, you know. But if you still went out there like the Braveheart days, and there was, you know, two people standing on opposing hills, and then they just ran down the hill yelling, ah! And they just fucking met in the valley, and they had those sticks with the fucking the fucking cannonball with the spikes coming out of it, you know. Basically, you're dressed like a Raider fan. Except you can actually hurt somebody. You don't have the rubber points. You wouldn't want to put somebody's eye out when you're intimidating somebody, Raider fans. All right, so politicians from both blocs of Iraq's divided parliament called for a vote to expel U.S. troops and promised to schedule an extraordinary session to debate the matter. Parliament, I like that they're taking control of their country again. Parliament must clearly and urgently express its view about the ongoing American violations of Iraq's sovereignty, said Salam al-Shamiri, a lawmaker loyal to the populist cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. Dude, the fucking balls you have over there to be any sort of a leader, man. I mean, you're really... I mean, I hope what they're doing over there works, because what we're doing is not stopping terrorism. Maybe it's stopping it from coming over here. I don't fucking know. But all I know is when I look at the ledger, you know, we're fucking bankrupt. We just keep raising our amount of debt. Why don't we fucking get back here? Get back here. Bring the fucking kids home. All right? Fucking get into this electrical shit. I don't give a shit if it hurts the environment more, just to, so we can pay this shit off. All right, with the money we make from exporting all the weed that we're growing. Now, God damn it, if I can figure out how to solve the world's problems, can't somebody in a suit and tie do it? All right, let's see what's going on in Germany. That's my first stop. Germany, army could recruit EU citizens. Oh, for fuck's sake. So just Germany, are they really doing this again? All right, slowly loading, slowly loading. It is really bizarre how Europe, if they're not unified, they will start a world war. You know, and then what do we get? We get shit for, what's the worst thing we do? We get fat? Is that all we're doing? No, Bill, I think you're doing a little more than that in the world. All right. All right, German army could recruit EU citizens. 7 years after Germany scrapped conscription, whatever the fuck that is, its defense chief has said employing EU citizens is an option to fill expert posts. Army General Inspector Eberhard Zorn said the forces had to look in all directions in times of lack of qualified personnel, such as doctors and IT specialists. Oh, wow. Have they outsourced all this shit in their country, too? The armed forces have been beset by years of underinvestment. Germany aims to increase its military by 21,000 personnel by 2025. Well, what the fuck are they getting ready for? Ah, Jesus Christ. Man, you know, this is why you don't read world news. This is why you just sit around and you try and find a new sport that you can get involved in. All right, let me do the one read here for this week. All right? And by the way, my little thing for my headphones came. I just have to go pick it up. All right, let's get over here. By the way, made it through Christmas without boozing. 33 fucking days in. 33 days in. I'm going to go to the Rose Bowl sober, and then I'm going to go on my tour, and I am going to be fucking ready, baby. Butcher Box, everybody. Butcher Box delivers healthy, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage-bred pork, the greatest pork chop I've ever cooked. The incredible quality of ButcherBox meat starts with the commitment to raising animals humanely and free of antibiotics and hormones they rub their bellies before they murder them. Cook with the peace of mind knowing you're eating holiday high-quality meat, grass-fed and grass-finished products. These aren't pigs eating other fucking pigs like the goddamn animals in this country. The healthiest choice you can make for your family. Each box comes with at least 8 to 11 pounds of meat, which is enough for 24 individual size meals. You can choose from 5 different box types, all beef. All right? All beef for the racist. Beef and chicken for somebody every once in a while will bang somebody outside their race. Beef and pork, old school. Mixed box for the liberal. Custom box for the Dean Del Rey, right? Dean Del Rey likes all this shit custom. Let's you choose your own cuts for free bacon and $20 off your first box. Go to butcherbox.com/burr and enter promo code BURR, B-U-R-R. All right. That's the podcast for this week. God bless all of you. Have a great weekend, you cunts. I'll see you on Monday, and I guess that's it, you know? Try to get along with each other, everyone. All right, I'll see you. Isn't it a pity now? Isn't it a shame how we break each other's hearts, cause each other pain? How we take each other's love without thinking anymore.
forgetting to give back. Isn't it a pity? Some things take so long.
What's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it is the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, December 27th, 2010, the final Monday of 2010, huh? What are you going to do with it, huh? Are you going to make this the greatest Monday of your life? Don't you hate one of those fucking motivational speakers? You're sitting there, you're trying to get motivated to not be a negative cunt like myself, right? And then this guy comes out, you're getting all excited to fucking have something positive be said to you. And what does the guy do? He gets you all nervous with this fucking ridiculous heightened sense of urgency for just a regular fucking day. This is Monday. Think about that, everybody. This is Monday, December 27th, 2010. Does anybody know what that means? Well, I mean, there's no history. Don't you? That's the worst part, too, when they start acting like somebody else talked to them. Well, John, there's no historical thingamajig for December 27th. This is just a regular day. Think about that, everybody. It's just a regular day. Is this just a regular shirt? Am I just a regular person? Is that how I'm going to live my life? Right there, fucking bam! Blow his fucking brains out. Right there. See? It wasn't a regular Monday, you fucking douche. It was a Monday you died because no one wants to hear your cunt speech. All right. I think I've said cunt 58 times already. Anyways, it's December 27th.
2 days after Christmas.
72 motherfucking days into me not drinking. I need five more days. No, four more days. And I break my record for, being sober. I'm going for 100 days. And it's good. It's going good. Oh, yeah. I'm having a great fucking time. Oh, Jesus. Anyways, did you guys have yourself a merry little Christmas? Did you have a good Christmas? Did you get the things that you wanted? I had a fucking awesome Christmas once I was able to finally relax. Because people out there who do the road, truckers, other comedians, lounge singers. Actually, lounge singers don't travel. They're just stuck at that same fucking place, you know? Like Jack Nicholson in the movie The Shining, just slowly going fucking crazy. Playing handball off the wall of their Red Roof Inn. Fucking sweet. When you travel as much as I do, your brain, I don't know, it can't slow down. It needs like 4 or 5 days to slow down. And you can't sit down on a couch and lay down on a bed for like, at least I can't, for like more than 10 minutes. Your brain is just fucking going, 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 going. And it took me like 4 or 5 days. And then I was finally able to relax and enjoy the holiday. I actually, I was so wound up from doing the road, I actually wanted to be alone. Even though I didn't want to be alone, it's Christmas. I don't want to be alone, but I did. I just didn't want to deal with
any sort of people. And I've discovered when you become an adult, truly become an adult, is Christmas is not about you anymore. It's about making sure everyone around you had a great Christmas. And then after all, the frenzy is sitting back and your enjoyment is that everyone around you had a great Christmas. And I finally figured that out this year. And I became a jolly son of a bitch. I really enjoyed my Christmas. You know? And I got to admit, on December 26th, yesterday, I went out and bought something that I wanted. I'm gradually putting together a John Bonham fucking, I don't know if I'm going out as him on Halloween or if I'm fucking going to make a stupid YouTube video. I don't know what, but I'm gradually putting together shit that looks like stuff that he wore. And I can grow a beard. I'll dye it brown. We'll see what happens. You know what I bought? I bought his Adidas sneakers that he wore at the Seattle concert. And you know you're a fucking John Bonham freak. For those of you who aren't into music, John Bonham is the greatest fucking drummer I ever heard. You know, just as far as the shit that I like. I know you can say Max Roach and all those fucking guys, Buddy Rich. I'm not trying to be a dick here. All right, but except for the cunts who think Neil Peart is better than John Bonham. All right? And if you think that, you are a monotone jackass. All right. But anyways, yeah, if you go on YouTube and you look up, it's actually Moby Dick Rare Clip, and it's him in Seattle. And at that point, they weren't calling it Moby Dick anymore. They were calling it something, I guess, Over the Top. Because Robert Plant goes, John Henry Bonham, Over the Top. And then they got like this 1970s, what is it, fucking technology where it goes over the top, 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 top. Wait, you know, it's supposed to be like blowing people's minds. And if you look at the arrogant way Robert Plant walks away from the mic, you really want to throw something at the back of his bushy head. But if you watch John Bonham play, he's got a pair of, I believe, the Adidas Dragons. Huh? Anybody old out there? Remember that? Adidas Dragons, Adidas Country, the Adidas Dragons. So I have those, and all I need is a pair of white fucking pants, and they sell a replica of that t-shirt that he wore and the song remains the same. So right there, I got the fucking outfit. Then all I got to do is just get a wig, and I'm good to go. Maybe I'll do that for you guys next year. I'll make a fucking – oh, you know what? There'll be a riot. I should do that and not say it's me. And – I'll just put a YouTube video up and it'll be John Bonham cover and I'll butcher one of his songs and you guys can all laugh at how bad people trash me for actually buying the entire outfit. I'm not above it, dude. I am a total fucking music geek like that. I will actually buy. And speaking of that, I want to recommend a book here before I don't know if I've even said anything funny other than revealing how fucking pathetic my personal life is. What do I got here? Out of all the Led Zeppelin books out there, and there's a zillion of them, and they're all fucking ridiculous for the most part. They always have them selling their soul to the devil and Jimmy Page muttering some sort of occult bullshit walking away. You know, and them fucking sticking a flounder in some girl's twat, which probably happened in Seattle. I have no fucking idea. But the best book that I have found on it is it's called John Bonham, The Powerhouse Behind Led Zeppelin, and it's written by his brother, Mick Bonham. And it says right on the back, or is it on the inside cover, why he wrote the book. He basically says, if I can just paraphrase here, I'll read you a little excerpt. About 10 years ago, this is from his brother. Linda Bonham wrote this. About 10 years ago, after reading yet another load of rubbish about his brother John, my husband Mick turned to me and said, I should write a book about our kid, if only to tell Zoe, John's daughter, what a great bloke her dad was. And with that, the seeds of this book began to grow. And it's just a killer book. It's very, very little of it is actually about, you know, all the bullshit that those other books are about, which is, you know, then they went to this town and they drank this much and they did this and they did that. It's really him growing up with John and John being home in between the tours. And it's fucking awesome. I read it in like a day and a half, 2 days. But when do you expect that? Considering I basically exposed myself to be like that chick who whacked Selena. You know that fucking psycho? Jesus Christ, if John Bonham was alive, would I be stalking him? This is really getting creepy. All right, let's fucking plow ahead here. But I want to recommend that book. All right? And there's big words and lots of pages. By big words, I mean big font. Lots of pictures. And, yeah, definitely check it out. Definitely check it out. And classic Englishman. I can tell you that about John Bonham. In that, like most Englishmen, he looks like he never lifted a weight in his life. Got that awful fish and chip torso, yet continued to wear tight shirts right through his career. Never understand that. You only see that. You do not see that here in America. Except with gay guys. Gay guys will wear tight shirts no matter what shape they're in. That's not true. They will actually, as long as they got a little pec action going on, they don't give a fuck about their stomach. You know, that as long as their chest is out a little bit further than the stomach, they wear tight shirts too. But I've been over to Europe, and I'm telling you, I've never seen it. Like, you can never did a push-up in their fucking lives. Those types of bodies. You got that seventh grade chest and arms, and then this fucking, I just drank a keg of beer stomach. And this is like, you know what it is? This is like they made it big before Elvis fucking died. And Elvis is the first behind the music as far as the rock star and all that. I know everybody's he stole all the music from the blues and gospel black dudes. You know what? Go fuck yourself. I'm so sick of that stupid ass fucking argument. He didn't. He was influenced by him. But because he's a different race, they said he stole it. It's such bullshit. You know, if you're black and you listen to a blues guy and you play blues, you're carrying on a tradition. But if you're white and you do it, you're stealing. All right? And if black dudes fucking steal white music, they're sampling. It's bullshit. It's all bullshit. Nobody's stealing from anybody. You're being influenced. So enough already with the fucking whining. I'm so sick of fucking people bitching that this unfair business is unfair. Yes, show business is unfair. Life is unfair. Oh, really? Did you write it and then you didn't get credit? Well, fucking welcome to the club. I never wrote anything that I didn't get credit for, but I can tell you right now, I have been a victim of some very creative math. Yeah, you know what, Bill? Here's your royalty checks. That's $4.98. Yeah, we had $100,000 worth of whiteout that we had to buy a new typewriter that cost us $30,000. You know, and all that comes out of your fucking pocket. Yeah, it's been going on forever. But the reason why I say Elvis is the original behind the music is because he's the first guy who got, as far as I can tell, got lofted all the way up into the stratosphere. And, like, everything he did now is just so fucking cliche, but he was the first guy doing it, so nobody could really see it. You know? And by the time he died as a drug-addicted fat fuck on a toilet, that was 77, you know, at which point, you know, Zeppelin was approaching 30 years of it. It was already too late, right? Does that make any fucking sense? I'm trying to justify, and this is also before, like, John Bonham never would have got that. If he was living today, I can't guarantee that he wouldn't be dead, but he definitely would have, like, a 95% chance of not being dead. Because someone would be like, you know, say you had a problem, there'd be an intervention. And then also when he got out of shape and he started getting the man tits there, they fucking, he would have got the shit teased out of him on YouTube and just out of sheer fucking humiliation. I think he would have done some sit-ups. But you never know. He is European. And they just really don't seem to be into physical fitness over there. This is coming from an American. They're not obese, but they are just some fleshy, mushy sons of bitches over there. Not all of them. You get your occasional one, but the occasional one seems like the ones that are born that way, you know? Like their dad was like a fucking shipbuilder, and his dad was, you know, fucking worked with Thor or some shit, you know what I mean? I don't fucking know. What am I talking about here, really, people, huh? 13 minutes of absolute shit. All right. What are we going to talk about this week here? You guys want to hear a story? You guys want to hear a story here? Do you actually have to work right now? Does anybody know? Is anybody working right now? Does anybody have such a fucking dick for a boss that he basically gave you New Year's Eve off and then Christmas Day off, and now it's Monday, now you're back to work? You know? This is a really, I don't know about you guys, but this is one of the most depressing weeks of the year. You know, is the week between Christmas and New Year's. Once Christmas is over, you know, it's like you see the buildup of the tree. First of all, you get your Christmas tree. And if you're like me, everybody trashes the tree. Except for this guy here who writes me this letter. Hey, Bill, fuck the haters. Fuck the haters. Your tree is awesome. Your tree is a noble fir, which is a far superior tree compared to those faggoty Douglas firs. I love how this guy immediately just, those trees are gay. Anyways, where the hell am I? Yes, they look a little sparse, but there is actually room to hang the ornaments. I like to joke that most people decorate their Christmas bushes by just throwing shit at them and hoping for the best. Ever notice all the ends of the branches of Douglas firs are freshly cut? Douglas firs do not grow in a conical shape. That means Christmas tree shape, I guess. They have to be trimmed in order to look like a tree because they normally look like a bush. Exactly. That's why I never liked those fucking trees. It looks like a shrub. I've never seen a fucking tree look like a Christmas tree. That's why. And that's why I liked the tree that I bought, because it looked like a fucking tree. Thank you, sir. He said, have you ever seen how they prune these trees on the farm before they're shipped to your local grocery store parking lot? A dude with a hedge clipper tied to his back at an angle goes up and down the rows of bushes and walks around each one, cutting it into a Christmas tree shape. Nobles aren't artificially shaped at all and grow to be symmetrical and perfectly proportioned. There you go. So go fuck yourselves. I also had somebody else write me a letter saying, fuck all those people. My sister or somebody is, I wish I saved it, is in some sort of artistic design or something to like my tree. So, you know what? I'm a little ahead of the curve, people. You wait. You know what's going to happen? One of these fucking emaciated celebrities is going to get one. And then it's going to become all the rage. They're going to be wearing Uggs with a fucking Santa Claus thong, right? With the midriff showing. Be like, oh my God. Like, oh my God. This tree is like, oh my God. And they're going to be in Us magazine. And that's going to be it. Matthew McConaughey will be naked playing bongos. And it'll all work out. But you will remember that you heard it here first. You heard it here first. I actually bought a fucking tree. You guys bought shrubs. All right? So fuck you and your holiday. But anyways, yeah, it's a really depressing week. So anyways, you go out and you buy the goddamn tree. So then you have the tree and there's the excitement of the smell of the tree. It smells like Christmas. Oh my God, it's going to happen. Right? It's that time of year. We're going to actually get off the wheel for a second. Enjoy the people around us, hopefully. You know? And then what happened? You decorate the tree. You put a little skirt around it. You dress up that little whore, right? You're getting even more excited. Then what happens? You come home for work, and one of your family members or the person you live with has wrapped a couple of gifts, putting it underneath. This is the buildup, right? This is Elvis, 1954, right before he fucking hit. You know? And then what happens? A couple more gifts. Somebody puts on a fucking Christmas record. Your balls are filled up. Just waiting to fucking for Christmas Day, and then Christmas comes. All right? Elvis on the fucking Ed Sullivan show. Everybody's going fucking crazy. People are opening gifts. There's fucking bitches screaming outside your window. You throw down a scarf at him. Everything is fucking great. And then just like that, it's over. It's fucking over. You know, you get drafted. Send you over to Germany. I can't do this Elvis thing. I don't fucking know what I'm saying here. You know what I mean? Then it's fucking over. Then you're looking at your tree. You know, it's still got the lights. It still has the skirt. But what happened to all the gifts? They're all gone. You know, it's a couple of pieces of paper. It's like they peaked. It's like your favorite band. They had those three awesome albums in a row. And now they're about ready to fucking spend their rest of their career trying to recapture those the whatever the fuck they did on those three albums, right? And then that's it. It's over. You say goodbye to everybody. You start looking at your family members. You see them. They're a year older, which makes you feel older. You know? Nothing's on TV. All the TV people are on vacation. They're showing something on a loop. MTV's finally showing fucking videos. It gets quiet. You sit back. You reflect on what a nice Christmas it is. But you just can't get over this feeling of this wave of depression that's coming. Because you know it's about ready to start all over again. Another fucking year with this fucking job, with that fucking douche telling me what to do. My fucking boyfriend, or your fucking girlfriend, or your wife, or your husband. It's going to be another fucking year. You know? And there's your fucking tree. Just reminding you of your goddamn mortality. Because you're not fucking watering it the way you watered it before Christmas. You skip a few days. Branches start to droop. Couples start to turn brown like the gray in your hair. Look at this artistic little jaunt I'm on here. You know, and by the time, and then what's the worst is then you start walking down the street, going out to your car, and what happens? The bodies start piling up out there. You see your first fucking Christmas tree, that bah humbug douchebag across the street who throws the fucking thing out at like 1 o'clock in the morning, December 26th. And it's sitting out there, right? Laying on its side like a fucking victim at the beginning of the first 48. You know, it's got one little piece of tinsel blowing in the wind because the rest of its shit got snatched off from around its fucking neck, just laying there. Dead as a fucking doornail. Next day you come out, there's two more. You start driving down to work and you just see them all over the place just being deposited. You know? Like fucking former stars and boy bands just littering the fucking highway. And it's fucking over. It's fucking over. So what do you do? Then you got what? You got New Year's Eve coming up, the worst fucking holiday of the year. You know, New Year's Eve is for young people. It's not for old people. You know, that's when you know you've hit a level of maturity is when you can go to bed at like 10 o'clock, 10 p.m. on New Year's Eve. And you didn't go out. You didn't get drunk. You stayed away from those fucking morons. You know, I'll tell you what's a great weekend to go out is the weekend after New Year's Eve. And all those guys, people are still fucking hungover and they're still fucking sick, you know, from their overindulging because they don't know how to drink. Then you head out. Like, I'll tell you what's, you know what's going to be a great night? What's New Year's Eve? Friday night? You know what's going to be a great night to go out drinking? Monday night. That, my friends, will be a great goddamn night. If you're an antisocial fucking prick like I am, that's where you want to go. Speaking of which, listen to this shit. Me and Paul Verzee, we're coming down to the wire here. We're actually tied. All right? As of right before this weekend, we are tied. All right? And I got to tell you something. This week, I had a breakthrough in my gambling. We pick four games a week. Whoever wins it in the end, it's only $100, but it's more just about the shit talking during the year. So this year, nobody has gone undefeated yet. All right. So you're talking 16 weeks of gambling, 32 weeks between the two of us. Nobody has gone 4-0. We've had, a number of 3-1s, but nobody has gone 4-0. And Paul Verzee actually did the impossible. What are we called? The unthinkable and the unimaginable. The unimaginable is going 4-0. He did the unthinkable. He went 0-4. So this week, I don't know what. I was talking to one of Nia's uncles, and he was talking about going against public opinion, and there was this whole new website and shit about going against public opinion with your gambling. And I decided to take a little bit of that. All right? Because this is what I realized. The reason why I could never break through 3-1 and get to 4-0 is because I kept picking people that I thought were going to win every fucking game. And I know that sounds crazy, but to gamblers, it makes sense. You know, when you don't have money on the game, you can actually sit there and fucking, you know, just say, you know what, not only do I think this team's going to cover the spread, I think they're going to win the fucking game. But all of a sudden, when you put money on it, you alligator arm it, and you just start, you know, you get too scared to take a fucking chance. At least I did. So this week I was like, fuck it. I'm taking a couple of chances here. All right? I went safe at first. I picked Tampa over Seattle and their Dockers-wearing fucking coaching staff with Pete Carroll. I said, fuck it, I'm going with Tampa. Now, that was one that I was – that was my playing it safe bet. And then, I don't know, I was looking at Washington and Jacksonville, and I was like, you know, it's in Jacksonville. Jacksonville's going to win. You know they're going to win this game. They're going to get the running game going. They're going to fucking run over. They got fucking Rex Grossman playing quarterback for Washington. It's fucking over. But I don't know why. I got a feeling. I got a feeling fucking Washington's going to win this game just because nobody thinks they're going to. So I said, fuck it. I bet on Washington. You know, and then continuing that line of thought, San Diego was going into Cincinnati. Cincinnati has shit the bed the entire fucking year. San Diego always plays well in December. They're a heckle and Jekyll, a fucking, what do you call it? Jekyll and Hyde fucking team. And I said, to hell with that. I don't give a shit. I'm going with Cincinnati. And lo and behold, yours truly went 3-0 yesterday. 3-0. Paul Verzi went 1-2. He had the Sunday night game, but it got fucking snowed out. I am one game up on him. I'm sorry, we're not tied. I am one game up on him. All right, so I went 3-0 yesterday. He went 1-2. So no matter what happens tonight, you know, if I lose my game, he wins his game. I'm going to be up by two games with 1 week to go. All right, but if I win tonight and go 4-0, I will have done the unimaginable. I'll done it. And who do you think I took tonight? Who would you take? The spread is 2.5. Falcons at home playing the Saints. Who do you like? 12-2? Is that what the Falcons are? Matty Ice at home? Just given 2.5? It's their fucking year. I said, fuck it. I'm taking the Saints. I took the Saints and the points with Drew Brees. Sticking with that line of thought of going against the playing it safe. I don't think the Falcons have been tested yet this year. And I just think that, you know, this is just going to be one of those things that happens to a team like this. I still think they might be a year away from doing something huge. And this is one of these games where I just think they're going to get a wake-up call. Like, okay, we're good, but we're not like the Saints that actually have gone through the whole thing and won the Super Bowl. That's why I took the Saints. I'm looking to go 4-0. Paul Verzi has got the now Tuesday night game. He took the Minnesota Vikings getting 14 points. And I'm telling you, if I go 4-0 and he goes 1-3, I'll pick up three games. I'll be up four games with 1 week to go, and we pick four games. All I have to do is fucking win one game. It's a goddamn extra point. It's a chip shot. And I will get bragging rights for the entire fucking year, and I will really be excited about that. And with that, see, there you go. For all of you who are into the gambling aspects of my life. And with that, somebody actually came up with this awesome theory about sports. This guy says, Bill, I have a theory about sports that tends to piss people off, especially women, which makes me think I'm onto something. And it's got nothing to do with the unpredictability of sports. I think this theory is basically why people like sports. He said it mainly applies to team sports, some individual sports too. Okay, so here it is. It begins back in the day when armies were in the field waiting to go into battle. An army's objective was essentially to conquer foreign lands and rape women in order to celebrate the glory of their race/culture. And they would train for battles by making up games. These games were based around themes of land grabbing and raping. In this theory, the ball, football, basketball, whatever, represents the seed. The goals, either posts or a hoop or a net, represents the opposing team's women, symbolizing either their legs up in the air or their vag or their womb, whatever. The opposing team represents the enemy army, and the objective of the game is to get your seed past the opposition and impregnate their women. That's essentially the theory and it's abridged version, and it's why some sports are like cracked and some are just who gives a shit. When a sport is put together right, it's a primal source of highly addictive goodness. Did you ever think somebody who would like basically compare sports to rape would then, you know, if you were going to do that, you wouldn't think that they would basically then just say, yeah, and it's, you'd think that they would be trashing it, not saying that it's a form of highly addictive goodness. So there you go. I actually like that theory. I believe in that, all that subliminal shit, you know? And yeah, I'll go with that. What do you guys think about that theory? Am I the worst Merv Griffin ever? I have no studio audience. What do you guys think? Into the Abyss. Am I really going to do another? Fuck, I got to be balanced here. Fair and balanced when it comes to the sports shit, because it's becoming too much sports. I got to. Oh, here's one for you. How about I tell you? I forgot I was going to tell you a story here. I took Cleo out. We went outside for a walk so she could do her business. And I'm walking up the street, and I went around the corner, and Cleo is, you know, she's going number one. She's taking a piss. So I'm standing there, right? And I looked, and I see this guy, as Cleo's beginning to do her thing, is walking to his SUV, like one of those little mini ones, like the Lexus sort of one. And I see him looking at me, and I just sort of look back. I didn't think anything of it. And Cleo's going to the bathroom, and I'm going, that's a good girl. Who's a good girl? Who's a good girl? You go to the bathroom, that's a good girl. I'm doing that shit, right? Slapping her on her fucking muscular thighs. And, you know, she finishes, does a little Harlem shake, you know? And then we start fucking walking up the street. And then I just hear the guy down at the SUV. All of a sudden, I just hear this, pick it up, dude. I'm like, what? He goes, dude, pick it up. I go, and I realize he thought she took a shit, which she didn't. I go, she went number one. I can't believe I said that, but I wanted to win the argument. I would be like, she took a piss. I went, she went number one. And then the guy just gets in his fucking car, starts to get in his little SUV thing. And I go, what, no sorry? He goes, I said sorry. Yeah, not as loud as you said that other shit. Then he got in his car and he fucking drove away. So one thing I fucking hate about the West Coast is the way they confront you. The confrontation out here, I don't know why they do it. Like back east, they would have been like, hey, dude, fucking, you know, pick up your shit. You know, out here, it's always like, I don't know what it is. They're always calling you bro. Hey, bro. What's up, dude? Pick it up, dude. It just fucking annoys the shit out of me. It just fucking annoys. I don't know. That's the only time it really bugs me being out here is that surfer fucking way that they talk when they confront you. Bro. What a douche. And you know what kills me is that affected me, the way I interacted with people. You know, for like the next 4 hours. I just had that playing in a loop in my head. Pick it up, dude. Was in my fucking head everywhere I went. You want paper or plastic? You know, just, it's, you know, all I'm here. Pick it up, dude. I'm just fucking hearing that in my head. And, you know what I mean? The proper way to do that is just to be like, excuse me, did your dog just go number two? And then, no, she went number one. And be like, okay, I'm sorry. It's just lately people are leaving. Okay, that's the way you do it. You know, just go, pick it up, dude. Fucking. Ah. I wish I could train Cleo. You know, for those of you new to my podcast, she is a pit bull. To just do a mock charge. You know how they do that in the wild? I just wish, just teeth. Ah, just fucking run. Just have that guy pee his slacks a little bit. And then right to the point where he thought he was going to get his fucking balls ripped off, she just stops on a dime and turns around and just fucking runs up the beautiful way that she runs. I should take a video of my dog running full speed. It's one of the most beautiful things you're ever going to see. It's literally, you could make like one of those Secretariat movies This fucking dog, she is shredded. She's awesome. And the way she runs, the level of power. First of all, when she runs, she gets like excited right before she does. And she does this move where she sort of throws her head back a little bit and just throws herself forward. It's like a fucking muscle car. It's unbelievable. Absolutely love watching her run. And if I could just somehow train her to run and scare the shit out of people who say, "Pick it up, dude," that would really make me happy. So that's what happened this week. And then I went inside and then I ended up getting into an argument with Nia because I was just in a bad fucking mood. No, did I? No, she got mad at me about something else. She was really pissed at me this week. I don't know what the fuck, you know, one of those deals. I think it was because I was coming down off being on the road and she thought that I was going to be a dick. And no matter how many times I tell her that I have to, you know, I need a few days to unwind. Like, I literally have the urge when I'm in the house to get up and just get in the car and just start driving around because I'm so in travel mode and going that it takes a fucking minute. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I got to do yoga or whatever. I have no fucking idea. This definitely seems to be causing a rift. But anyways, I just remembered I was going to tell you. Oh, I know. Last night I went and I saw The Fighter. Starring Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale. And I can't recommend that movie highly enough. That movie was fucking awesome. It was a movie I wasn't going to see. I'm like, oh, God, here we go. Rocky all over again. But what saved it was Mickey Ward. And I remember his fights. And I'm embarrassed to say I didn't see that Arturo Gatti fight until years afterwards. I actually watched it on YouTube. And I remember Colin Quinn coming into the cellar raving about that fight. In fact, there's two fights that I remember that I was just like, I have to see this fight. It was the Mickey Ward Arturo Gatti fight after hearing Colin Quinn rave about it down at the Comedy Cellar, and the Diego Corrales fight. Was it Corrales Castillo fight? Is that who it was? Yes, Diego. I can't fucking remember. As you can tell, I dip in and out of boxing. But that's it. Corrales Castillo, their first fucking fight is unbelievable. And Charlie Murphy flipped out about that when he told me he almost broke his foot at the end of that fight. Well, one of them's just, you know, knocked out, gets up, and this trainer goes, "You better fucking get inside now." I think I told this story before. He goes, "You better fucking get inside now." And he put his mouthpiece in him. And he turned around. They continue the round. He fucking knocks the other guy, technically knocks out the other fucking guy. And I guess that got Charlie so fucking amped up, he stomped his foot down on the floor and woke up his whole family. So those are the two fights. But anyways, so this fight, this movie is about Mickey Ward's, you know, ascension up to trying to win a championship. And I have to tell you, man, it is absolutely phenomenal. I was rooting for, like, the Mark Wahlberg character while he was fighting. It was fucking awesome. Made me want to get in great shape. And I got to tell you, I don't think I've ever seen a movie where they did the Boston accent better. Even just for that reason, even if you're not a sports fan, you got to go see there and see the five women that play his sisters. They're fucking unbelievable, and it reminded me of this period in my life when I was underage, and I used to go out to these dive bars in, like, Chelsea and all those awful M towns north of Boston, Malden, Medford, Revere. I used to go out to all of those places because they didn't give a fuck, because most of them were actually, you know, people were doing coke. It was the 80s, and that was when people were selling coke, so, like, alcohol just seemed like it was a joke. It's like somebody went up there and asked for some juice so I could actually get served with my fucking 12-year-old boyish face. And those five women that you see in that movie, those are the kind of girls that you ran into. They were like 21 years old, and they looked like they were 40. They already had a kid, and they were jaded. I can't explain it. And it so fucked up was it was like a 20-25 minute ride from where I lived, which was a world away with no traffic. Of course, with traffic, it took like a fucking hour to get there. But Yeah, I just remember shooting the shit with them. They'd be, oh, you're like smart. But anyways, those are my two recommendations for this week. Get the book John Bonham, The Powerhouse Behind Led Zeppelin by Mick Bonham. And go see The Fighter. I'm going to see True Grit this week. And someone's trying to talk me into going to see Tron. But I could give a shit about science fiction. I've never been into it. I never liked Star Trek. I liked Star Wars for maybe 6 months in my youth. Just because everybody else liked it and I wanted to fit in. So I kind of got into it. I don't give a shit. I think those movies are gay. They're gay. All right? There, I said it. All right? You know, you've put on the afterburners. I'm doing the best I can. Hit warp speed. And there's stupid fucking handshakes. And the aliens that they're friends with. And the gay names of the fucking spaceships that they ride around in. And it's just, it's for nerds. It's for people who don't know how to get laid. I don't know. That's not true. But it just, the stereotype is true. And speaking of which, I wanted to read this overrated for this week. When it's just reminded me of this. Somebody wrote, overrated Las Vegas. Somebody wrote, I'm tired of everybody going to Las Vegas all the time. They throw that shit around like they're going, like they're getting a free trip to a space station. Like, yo, anybody want to go to Vegas this weekend? Like it's just the wildest, craziest place. It's not. Vegas fucking stinks. It's really not that big a deal there. It's too hot. The drive sucks. How do they not widen out that 14? It's actually the 15 or whatever to be more than two lanes. Yeah, that's the highway. And when you come back on Sunday, it's a fucking nightmare. Always fly into Vegas. Never drive unless you plan on leaving at 2 in the fucking morning. He said, the other big thing I'm tired of with Vegas is the media perception that it's the craziest place on earth, that you never know what kind of nutty shit is going on. And it's like that every day of the year. You should just go wild there. Go home with three strippers, party like crazy with your boys, and wake up with the most insane story ever. It's like that movie The Hangover. It's like that song Waking Up in Vegas from Katy Perry. Woohoo, yay, let's go crazy. Well, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. That doesn't really happen there, folks. The 50s and 60s are over. Not much that's hip and happening goes on there. You don't see Sinatra and Dean coming out to deal blackjack and drink with the common folk unless you're bringing in a six-figure salary. It's actually pretty mundane. It's mostly full of sad old people blowing their social security checks on slot machines and shit and lousy food and ugly tourists with their stupid kids. The place is like Disneyland with gambling. And God help you if you wake up with a hangover. It's generally 117 fucking degrees out. You walk out of your hotel and go, ugh. Vegas is not supposed to be – it's supposed to be this out-of-control party place. It's not. You want a story? Give Charles Manson a tab of acid and a meat cleaver and let him loose on the strip on a Friday night. You'll have a crazy Vegas story. Fuck that place. All right. Well, sir, I 100% agree and disagree all at the same time. See, what you did is you went there and you just looked at what you saw, like I did the first time I went there. I walked there and I was all dressed up to do my shows like I was going to be in the fucking Rat Pack, and I saw all these fucking fat tourists with their flip-flops and going, wow, Vegas is dead. It isn't. You just don't know where to look. First of all, you ever see those pretty girls playing slots, you know? And you're like, why is that pretty girl all by herself playing slots? How come she doesn't have a boyfriend? That's because she's a hooker, sir. You want to have your crazy fucking, there you go, right there. See, you're like me. First time I went to Vegas, I thought a hooker was, you know, standing on a street corner, snapping her gum. Hey! Like, that was a hooker. All right? But no, they're not supposed to be in the casino, but they look the other way. All right? And I was actually at a bar one time, and Jimmy Dore told, you know, I'm sitting there hitting on this girl, and Bill, Jimmy finally came up and goes, Bill, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, what? This girl's hot. He goes, dude, you're hitting on a hooker. And I was like, she's a hooker? And he goes, yes. And then all of a sudden, it was like the Matrix. I could see it. And then I went, oh, she's a hooker. There's a hooker. There's a regular girl, hooker. and all of a sudden you could fucking see it. Your problem is you don't know how to see it yet. Put it this way. I just did a road gig with somebody, and he told me a story. He went to Vegas. He won $9,000, walked up to one of those girls, said, hey, come here. And she stopped playing slots, walked right over to him. He goes, I want another girl like you to suck my dick. Come up to room, 1052. And they did. And they came up there, and they were gorgeous, and they sucked his dick, and he came on their face. And he won $9,000 that night. So there you go. It is a crazy, awesome fucking place where shit can happen if you indulge. All right? If you stand back like a fucking, you know, just shitting all over the place, then yeah, you're not going to have a good fucking time. It is cheesy. It is awful. There are a bunch of, you know, they got malls there now. They try to appeal to families. All of that shit definitely goes on there. But believe me. All right? I mean, I don't think you can go to Foxwoods and just go, hey, you and you. I mean, you can probably do it, but they're going to be old ladies. And even there, I'm sure they have their hookers. All right? But of course they do. But I'm telling you, go there next time you go there. All right? Just look for those pretty girls playing slots. And you will have, and all of a sudden, Vegas will become, they can't show that. In the commercial, you know, what was that Fox? The Fox was on. Bada do, bada baby, just suck my fucking dick. Remember that commercial? I forget how it goes. That whole thing about being at Foxwoods, like it's this crazy thing. You can't show somebody win nine. You can show that them winning $9,000, but you can't show that other part where he goes, "Hey, you find another one." Just like you, whose dad didn't stick around, so now you suck dick for a living. Get another one of those, come back to my room, and then end the commercial. Bang, boom, zow, as he fucking comes on their faces, okay? You're supposed to read between the lines, all right? So what I would do is I would stop going to Vegas with the fucking nerds that you're going to Vegas with. You know, I mean, you're going to Vegas, dude. You're trying to solve the transportation problem. You're talking about the highways. You're not looking at the right shit, you know? Yes, Frank and Dean are not going to be dealing poker. Yeah, they're dead. They're dead. Okay? Yes, move on. Ashton Kutcher's going to be there dressed like James Bond taking... Ugh, I fucking hate those commercials. I envy that guy's career. You know? I really envy that guy's career. He's a smart son of a bitch. Most people do a hit fucking sitcom and then that's it. He got into producing. Very smart guy. But I hate those fucking commercials with him sitting there with the stupid cameras and everybody's just enamored with him. Look at the guy with the camera. Wait, we all have cameras and one in our phone. This really isn't that exciting. So there you go, sir. I know I trashed you, but go to Vegas again, okay? Fucking pony up the fucking $70 and fly out there on Southwest. Go down to the strip, okay? Gamble. Hopefully you win. If you don't, you know, even if you don't, just save a little money. And have a couple girls blow you, come on their face, and I'm guaranteeing you, you're going to go home with a smile, even if you have to sit in that traffic on the 15. Hey, listen, I know there's a lot of people listening to this podcast that went to Vegas. I want to hear some stories, and don't make them up, all right? I want to hear some actual goddamn stories, okay? And I'll see through the bullshit ones, unless you're a really good storyteller, okay? Because the truth is in the details. Look at me talking shit like fucking Rex Ryan. Oh, wait a minute. Did the Jets lose again this week? Oh, isn't that funny? Well, isn't that funny? It's almost like exactly what I said was going to happen fucking happened. You know, and I know a lot of you guys, you probably can't remember because, you know, nobody can remember shit in this country. Like I used to do a bit about that Geico lizard, how, you know, everybody loves that fucking thing. And I just look at that thing like that thing has no credibility whatsoever. When those commercials started out, he's like, no, I'm a gecko. All right, get away from me. Fuck you and your insurance company. Then all of a sudden, he like fucking sold out. Now he sells the insurance and no one calls him on the bullshit. Well, this is my fucking Geico gecko lizard moment. Here's Rex Ryan. I'll play you two clips. This is Rex Ryan on Hard Knocks back in August. Let's hear what he has to say about his football team, which started my hatred of the fucking Jets. Here we go, everybody. Let's turn up the volume. Here we go.
If we play at our best, we will beat every team in this fucking league playing at their best. So who's it on? Whose shoulders does it fall?
There you go. Could you hear that? Sorry, I just fucked with the volume here. I had to crank that up. All right? That's what he said. We would beat every team. If we play at our best, we can beat every fucking team in this fucking league. You know, the usual bullshit. Okay? For those of you who forgot. All right? Now, here's him yesterday when they backed into the fucking playoffs like they did last year. Here we go.
By the way, I think we're in the playoffs. God, dog. Hey, it ain't the way I wanted it, but I'll take it.
Yeah, what happened, Rex? Fucking dope. I swear to God, was I? There's no reason for me to even bring it up. But I have to bring it up, okay? That's the second major thing that I was right about in football this year. And as much as you fucking hate to admit it, you know I'm right. I told you Peyton Manning was fucking overrated. I told you he was a regular season statistical juggernaut. He threw a pick six to lose the fucking Super Bowl. And he has yet to get shit for it. His fucking volume is way too high. I'm sorry. Let me bring this down here. He has yet to get shit for it. All right? And I told you, I didn't understand what the Jets were talking about. I didn't understand why they felt like they were the shit. You know? Was it last year that they made the playoffs because the Colts sat half their fucking team? Wasn't last year? Isn't that how they got into the fucking playoffs? Then this year they come in just talking all this shit. Now look, I'm not saying that they couldn't go on any team in the NFL at this point. If you get hot in the end of December, you can actually go on a run and win the fucking Super Bowl like the Giants did. All right? That's another fucking hilarious thing. The Giants losing again this week, and now they're questioning whether Tom Coughlin is worthy to coach that team. That team that a mere 3 years ago, beat an undefeated team. 14-point underdogs. What, did the game suddenly pass Tom Coughlin by in 2.5 fucking years? New York, this is the difference between New York and Boston. Boston is completely 100% negative, and they'll give you a little bit of positive, and the second they see negative, they're like, the curse is back! They're awful that way, but New York, they kind of do the ESPN thing, where they hype shit through the roof, and say this is going to be the greatest fucking thing ever, and then when it doesn't happen, then they go the exact opposite way. And then just somebody is the worst fucking thing that ever happened to the goddamn sport. And that's why mediocre guys like Mark Sanchez, who never really did anything in fucking college football. What did he do? He won the fucking Rose Bowl with that team that had won the national championship. I know there's a turnover of players, but give me a break. Matt Leinhart did more than that fucking guy, and he's not even in football anymore. I think he's playing in like the fucking CFL, right? So there you go, people. But I will tell you this. I do back Rex Ryan on his foot fetish video. I don't think there's anything fucking wrong with that. He's got a foot fetish. He made a video. I totally agree with him. It is a private matter. And, you know, the guy loves his wife. That's what I got out of it. I didn't think he was a weirdo. I think that was just one of those classic fucking examples of everybody out there throwing sticks and stones and all this fucking shit when we all have these skeletons in our closet. Huh? Does anybody else want to turn over their fucking hard drive, their computer hard drive, and let the FBI go through it and look at all the fucked up shit that you've looked at on the internet? Give me a fucking break. I'm a freak just like him. I'm not into feet. You know, some of the horrific shit that I've looked at on the internet, I'm going to fucking judge this guy. In the end, he just kept going, it's a personal matter. I'm not going to talk about it. You're going to ask me 16 ways to Sunday. It's a personal matter. And I was like, that's exactly right, Rex. It's exactly fucking right. It's your own fucking life. It's a personal matter. I'm not talking about it. Go fuck yourselves. I don't give a shit that it's on the internet. It's none of your goddamn business. Watch the video if you want. I don't give a fuck. Then they go, can you at least talk about your wife? And he goes, yeah, what can I say? I've been with her for 23 years. I love her. She's awesome. I was like, you know what? This guy's a great dude. And I realized that I was wrong saying that he was going to make an attempt on his life one day because he has a great woman in his life. And that's what's holding that man together. And I told you, one psycho can spot another psycho from across the room. So God bless Rex Ryan and his fucking foot fetish. 23 years. He still fucking got the hots for his wife. He's making freaky videos. I thought that was the shit. Gave me hope. That's what it did. It gave me hope. I don't think that guy's a freak at all. And it's like that Tiger Woods shit. And everybody sat there judging him. Yeah, people are full of shit. You know, just listen to that quiet voice in the back of your head that's calling you a hypocrite when you're at the dinner party trashing Tiger Woods. You know, when you think of some of the shit that you've, you know, that you rubbed one out to your wife's sister? Huh? What if that ever got out? What if there was fucking video of that? You fucking rubbing one out to your wife's fucking sister, and we could see the fucking video that's playing in your goddamn head. Really? You're going to judge this guy because he's into feet? I don't judge him for that shit. I do judge him for being a shit-talking jackass who sounds like one of my moron buddies at a fucking sports bar. I will trash him for that. So, with that, who do you guys think is going to win the Super Bowl? Because I, for one, have no fucking idea. I have no faith in my team. I don't even know who they are anymore. My Patriots, they're like a drug addict. You know? Are they clean? Are they clean this week? And they're going to play fucking defense? Or are they just going to... I don't know. And I don't like that we basically should have lost to the fucking Packers. But Aaron Rodgers was out. And even then, we still should have fucking lost, but they didn't manage the clock right. And, you know, we lost to the Jets once. Jets could come in and beat us. They could still come in and beat us in our own fucking place. I mean, that's the kind of way football is right now. So, which is why I don't understand the whole Rex Ryan shit talking. That's what it was about. So there you go. Let's see. Let's move on to something else here. Let's go with advice. Bill, hey, I just want to write you and say I got Let It Go for Christmas. I really needed it too. My girlfriend dumped me on Christmas Eve. So you know my Christmas sucked, but your DVD really helped me out a lot last night. I know what you say about breakups. 6 weeks of pain and then it gets easier. He said, we were together for 9 months, and out of the blue on Christmas Eve, she called me up and said she needed time for herself and her daughter. That makes it tough, too. I got really close to her kid. Here's my question. What's the worst breakup you've ever had, and have you ever been dumped over the holidays? All right, there's a number of things going on here, sir. First of all, that's a real honest move on her part. You know, that whole fucking thing where you just go through a Christmas because you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. You know, there's no good time for a break. She just could not go through the phoniness of celebrating Christmas with you when she knew she was going to fucking drop the other shoe, however that fucking expression goes. So I got to give her props for being fucking honest. But, and then also, dude, you know, you can do better than hooking up with some chick who already has a kid. And I hate to be mean. I'm not trying to trash women out there who have fucking kids and they're single and that type of shit. But I'm trying to give this guy something positive. All right? You know? It's like, yeah. You got it down, dude. 6 weeks. It's going to suck. This is what you want to do. Just go to the gym. Go to the fucking gym. This is what women do. Women fucking cry it out with their friends. They get it out of their system. And then they go to the fucking gym. And the next time you run into them, they want you to have that moment. Why the fuck did I dump you? When guys, we never do that. What do? We get fucking drunk, get a big fat fucking John Travolta head, and then go out and try to bang some skank at 3 a.m. Don't do that to yourself. All right? Just know it's going to hurt and fucking, you know. Go spoon with your pillow and cry it out. And then go to the fucking gym. Put on some music that's going to motivate you. Go see that movie, The Fighter. All right? Go get fucking motivated. We'll do that shit. And then just go out and just start hitting on chicks that are completely way out of your fucking league. And, you know, just go talk some shit. And then you got the out. I'm not ready to be in a relationship. I got broken up with on Christmas fucking Eve. I'm not even trying to talk to women. You do that. You fucking do the reverse sell. You're backing up. They're walking towards your dick. That's how you do it. You know, you'll get a sympathy blowjob or something. Just open your fucking mouth. Don't be negative. Keep them fucking laughing. Spin a couple of plates. Something will happen for you. Next thing you know, you'll be like, wow, did I almost get involved with the fuck? I was thinking about getting married to some woman who already had a fucking kid, you know, who's never really going to consider you her dad. It's going to have a bunch of issues, and her dad's not going to be around when her daughter goes through her slut years because she's trying to find another father figure. You don't want to be around for that shit. You did all right. So anyways, he said, here's my question. What's the worst breakup you've ever had, and have you ever been dumped over the holidays? Worst breakup I ever had was I broke up with this girl who then ended up stalking me. She told me she was pregnant. I believed her. I got back into her life, and then obviously I realized, you know, when she was never showing, that she wasn't pregnant. Yeah, I had one of those. Just a complete fucking psycho would stalk me at my day job and all that shit. It was a fucking nightmare. Had one of those. And have I ever been dumped over the holidays? No, I haven't. I've mainly been the person that's dumped people. But I did get dumped. The fuck did I get dumped? It was in September. Yeah, it was September. September? Yeah. Yeah, and it sucked. It was fucking brutal. And I did the dumb shit. I went out and I drank. And I didn't – that's – you know something? That's the basis of my advice that I give you guys when you – men or women, when you go through a breakup is just allow yourself to know that it's going to suck. Yes, it's going to suck. Yes, you're going to come home and the phone isn't going to ring. And you're going to be sitting there trying to put the pieces back together going, what the fuck did I used to do with all this extra time? And just go through that is the best thing that I can tell you. And fucking embrace it and just know it's going to hurt. And that's the best advice I can give you because I did not do that. The worst thing you want to do is go out, start boozing, and try to bang somebody else and then go into a fucking rebound relationship. I did that a couple of times. It's fucking brutal. It's not what the fuck you want to do. So, I don't know. We had a couple of questions. Somebody, I keep getting questions about on the Opie and Anthony show, Patrice O'Neill and Kevin Hart talked about this trashing that I took. And it was a long fucking time ago. I haven't listened to the audio yet. Just look it up on YouTube. I'm sure they have the audio up. Without even listening to the audio, whatever they said is more than truth. It was an epic 50 fucking minute trashing that I took. What the fuck was the story? Esty at the Comedy Cellar. All right, where do I start this? The Yankees were playing the Braves in the fucking World Series. And I guess there was these groups of people from Atlanta wanted to, they were taking two buses to Yankee Stadium to go to the game, and they wanted a comedian to perform on the bus on the way to the stadium, all right, which obviously is the most nightmare gig ever. They were going to pay you like $500 and give you a World Series ticket, all right? So the gig was offered to me. Like, Esty was like, who's the two biggest sports fans I know down here? So she offered and actually don't have enough money in the bank where they'll actually consider doing this. So she approached me and Jim Norton about the gig. So me and Norton are just talking about it, going, dude, this is going to be the worst fucking gig ever, but you get to go to the World Series, and we were both thinking about it. So the next day, over 24 hours, Norton finally just goes, fuck that, I'm not doing it. So I was going to do it. I was like, fuck it. I mean, it's not going to be that bad a gig. That's the thing about it. It wouldn't have been that bad a gig. I basically was going to get paid to go to a World Series game and to get paid to do what the fuck I was going to do anyways, which is trash the Yankees all the way up to Yankee Stadium. That's the only part about the story that's bullshit, is them talking about what a horrific gig it would have been. It would have been a fucking cakewalk compared to those college gigs I did where they didn't have a fucking microphone and they stand you in a hallway. It would be a bunch of drunk fans excited to see their team that didn't have a shot in fucking hell of beating the Yankees. And all I was going to do was tell them what a fag Jeter was for fucking 30 minutes. A half hour fucking set would have been a joke. All I would have to do is trash the Yankees the whole fucking way up. I get $500 and I get a World Series ticket. And the second I get off, I can screw. I can leave those guys. I get to go to a World Series game at fucking Yankee Stadium. So I'm like, I'm going to fucking do it, right? So I didn't know that Jim had said that he wasn't going to do it. So we're sitting down there at the table down at the cellar, and it's starting up. Everybody's giving each other shit. So I start giving Norton shit about whatever, about his chinless face, his little ears or whatever fucking awful hooded sweatshirt that he was wearing. And then I got him with a couple of jabs, and he felt the overhand right coming, and he needed to stop it. And he just goes, whatever, bus boy. And it was like E.F. Hutton. Everybody fucking stopped and went, what? Why did you just call him bus boy? And I immediately was like, he's going to do it too. And somehow Jim got out of it and just, he literally threw me under the bus. And then they found out I was doing the gig. And it just so happened that night that all the fucking, the big boys were there. It was Patrice, Norton was there, Kevin Hart, Rich Voss, Keith Robinson. Right fucking there. The Tyson, Holyfield, George Foreman, all of that. And I'm standing there like fucking Tex Cobb. And I took a 50-minute, I took a headlining set, killing, standing ovation set of shit for doing that gig. And I was still going to do it. I was still going to do it, even after the fucking trashing, because I'm thinking, I'm going to the fucking World Series. I don't give a shit, you know? And Patrice was trashing me, and I didn't give a fuck what he said. His advice I never would have listened to, because Patrice was one of the biggest pussies when it came to performing hell gigs. Like when we used to do colleges, this guy used to book us on colleges, and it would be me, him, and Robert Kelly, or me, him, and Norton, or whatever. And this dude never wanted to go on first, because first sucks because you got to warm up the crowd. And he never wanted to go on last because you had to follow the other two acts. He always wanted to go on second. And then he'd go on second, and he would go over his fucking time like the selfish cunt that he is. And so I was just thinking, this guy retires from comedy every 2 weeks when he sees a hack kill on stage. I don't give a fuck what he thinks, but it wasn't until the end when he actually looked at me when the trashing was over and he said, Bill, he goes, I will stand in front of that bus. Don't do that gig. I'll buy you a ticket to the World Series. Don't do that. And then I was sitting there going like, wow, this is actually like he's not even joking right now. He's trying to tell me, for the love of God, have a little bit of self-fucking-worth. And he shit. That was the thing. After a 50-minute trashing, as embarrassing as that was, nothing was worse than the shame of him telling me that I could actually afford a World Series ticket at that point. I wasn't really even thinking that. So I decided, in that moment, I decided not to do the gig, which I don't think came out on the Opie and Anthony show. They think I did the gig. I never did the gig. And I actually passed it off to another comedian who was further down the ladder than I was. And he didn't even ask me, but I always made a promise that I would never say who did the gig. And I don't know, next time I go on Opie and Anthony, I'll talk to the dude who actually did the gig and see if he wants to call in and talk about the gig. But that's the only, I haven't listened to the audio yet, but whatever jokes that they said, there were some classic ones. I remember Patrice saying, hey, Bill, when they bring you up, are you going to come out of the bathroom or are you going to walk up those little stairs? That, and then also me finishing my set going, hey, thanks a lot. And then I sit down in the bus seat and then look over my shoulder and shake everybody's hands as they go to get off the bus. Was I going to fucking hold the, the bus intercom thing? Would I do it over that? Yada, yada, all that. And this would kill me. They had jokes for 50 fucking minutes. All that was true, but I never did the gig. I never did the gig. And I still maintain it wouldn't have been that bad of a fucking gig. It wouldn't have been a joke. Bill, get on a bus for a half an hour and trash the Yankees. Do you think you can do that? We'll give you $500 and a World Series ticket. Absolutely. I would have been drinking with them. And any time I ran out of shit to talk about the Yankees, you just look out the bus. Hey, look at the tits on that fucking whore. And they'd all go nuts. All I had to do was support the South in the Civil War. There were so many different ways that I could have. That would have been a fucking cakewalk. A fucking cakewalk. And I didn't end up doing it. Which actually was better, because the first time I went to a World Series ended up being, I went to Game 2 of 2004. That boring-ass World Series. But it was exciting because we finally won it. So there you go. So that is the story. Yes, they trashed the shit out of me, but I never did the gig. I was shamed out of doing it, and I gave it to another comedian who will remain nameless. Actually, you know what? Here, let me do a little cross-promotion here. I will reveal the name the next time I do the Opie and Anthony show, if they still give a fuck, if they still give a shit, if the story has legs, as they say in the business. So there you go. There's that fucking story. All right. And I'll try to remember the name of this podcast in case I get somebody a couple more questions about it. And I'll just say, refer to the podcast on December 27th. All right. YouTube videos of the week. These are all going to be on the mmpodcast.com. You can watch all of these. The so-called white man. Somebody sent a great video of somebody. The dude didn't have a microphone, but he was talking about all how the white man, you know, is fucking with everybody the way he twisted up religion and all that shit, which is totally true. But in the end, he goes, because God is actually a black man. So basically, it's like everything that white people just did, I am now going to do from my perspective, which is the one thing that I've learned when being on the road, that everybody is the same, and it includes the bad shit. You know that liberal thought that, you know, everybody is the same, but it's only good shit? Everybody has the ability to be a scientist, to be a doctor, you know, a fucking teacher. Everybody has – yes, yes, they do. And they also have the ability to be a fucking CEO at Enron, to be a rapist, and to be a fucking serial killer and all the bad shit. Everything. To be a war criminal, a fucking dictator, everybody. That is not an exclusively white thing, because white people get blamed for evil. Like, we're the only evil ones on the planet. We are not. We are just the best at it. We are the Michael Jordans of evil, everybody. I challenge your race to top my race with the evilness. But you got it in you. You got to know that. All right? You got to know that you have it in you. The same way you have it in you to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a teacher, you also have it in you to be a complete fucking sociopath. So there's my fucking 2 cents. All right. Clumsy reporter knocks down, I don't even know how to say it, Jenga Tower. I don't even know what it is. Leaning Tower of Pisa. FVA tow rope fail. This is somebody towing their friend's car down the street with a rope, and it doesn't go that well. Merry Christmas, bitch. Need I say more? Harvard sailing team, boys will be girls. And on from Funny or Die, drunk history. And I think that's it. I think that's it for the podcast. This has been a very long one. Gift card, really quick. Let me read this. Gift card. Dude, what is your deal with gift certificates? This guy right here is the exact reason why I don't like gift certificates. Would you rather get some shitty sweater or boxer briefs from your aunt or brother-in-law, or a gift certificate from Amazon or Best Buy where you could buy something you actually like? Hey, fuckhead, why don't you not go out and buy a shitty sweater or boxer briefs? See, you uncreative cunt. Maybe you should give out a gift card. That's why I don't like it, because, you know, it's like you're out there and you buy somebody a great fucking gift, and then they go, hey, you go shop for yourself, fuckface. It's lazy. That's why. That's why I don't fucking like it. I don't mind it if we both agree to get each other gift certificates. I don't mind that. But I'm out there actually trying to buy you a fucking cool ass gift, and you come up with, you just write me a check, you know, like I'm some drunk whore going to say your fucking son raped somebody and you're running for Senate and you need the problem to go away. That's why I don't like it. So go fuck yourself. All right, revenge. I got to read this quickly here, which is going to cause all kinds of problems. All right, I went to a local junior college. Wait a second, I jumped in too far. This may be more of a story of lashing out than revenge. I actually think this is a story of revenge, and I like this story because this is eyeball to eyeball, even though it was a little Ulf Samuelson here. My senior year, I dated a beautiful underclassman. She was my first love and first lay. We dated through the summer after graduation. I went on to a local junior college the next year. Jesus Christ. Shop class guy right here. All right. We were still dating when school started up the next year. I had a lot of friends that were still in high school, and one of my best friends told me that he started seeing my girlfriend hanging out at school with another good friend of mine. My girlfriend was acting shady, so I knew something was up. For years during the football season, a big group of guys would get together on Sundays and play a game of tackle football. This guy who was seen with my girlfriend was among the guys that showed up to play with me, to play with everybody. Me and this guy, this other guy, you name it all names. I'm trying to skip over the names here. Me and this other guy would normally play QB, so we would be the two to pick teams each week. The quarterback on the other team was also a good friend of mine. The friend of mine, with all these fucking names here, the friend of mine who was messing with my girl didn't know that I was aware that he and my girl had been flirty at school. So I asked my buddy, the QB on the other team, to pick this douche who's messing with my girl, and at some point during the game, send him in on a hard five and in. I don't know what that is. That like a post pattern? I guess that's a crossing pattern. And lead him high. He's basically going over the middle. He's going to throw the ball high and just out of his reach, leaving this guy completely exposed. So anyways, he goes a few plays into the game. They come out of the huddle. And my buddy, the QB on the other team, gives me a look. He goes, I called a 2-1-2 defense. Jesus Christ. This is like the most professional pickup football game ever. So I bring in the nickel defense. I had to call a timeout because we had too many men on the field. I called a 2-1-2 defense and took the short right zone. The ball was snapped, and this douchebag who's flirting with my girl came off the line, took a hard left, and in slow motion ran into my zone. I delay 1 or 2 seconds and begin the path to the collision. My buddy led him perfect, so he had to pick up a little speed to get to the ball, and he extended both arms to the sky. And, of course, he's looking back at the quarterback, too. Jesus Christ. The second the ball hit his hands, I bury my shoulder into his stomach. I grab the back of his knees, and I pull up and drive him into the ground. Now, I can't define the word squelch, but he definitely let out a sound that I can only describe as squelched. That word makes it sound like you actually hit a really ripe melon. The entire field erupted with a holy shit. My little league coach would have given me 2 stars on my helmet for this fucking hit. I felt good about it for about 3 seconds, and then the remorse set in. I feel bad to this day for setting this guy up the way I did. It took a few minutes for him to get up, but he was fine. I don't know about karma, but a few weeks later, this dude that he drilled into the ground was banging his ex-girlfriend, and I met my rebound that I dated for the next 5 years. She turned out to be the devil herself. I might not believe in God, but I've looked the devil in her evil eye as I shot a load into her evil cunt. Jesus Christ. I don't think karma got you. I think he was going to bang her no matter what, and I think you got a nice shot in there. It was a little cheesy that you had your friends set him up, but fuck him. That's what he gets. That's your girl. He shouldn't have been doing that. He was wrong. You were right. And as far as karma goes, I view karma is like, what's that shit where you look at the stars to see if you're going to get a chicken sandwich that day? What do you call it? Is it astrology? Astronomy is the study of stars. Astrology. Yeah, like, I don't believe in astrology. You know, and anybody who does, you go, okay, you believe in it. And you just go, what's your sign? And they tell you their sign. And then read somebody else's horoscope. If they're a Gemini, read a Taurus. And go, all right, how does that pertain to your life? And they'll be like, okay, it means this, this, and this. And go, yeah, see, that was Taurus. So there you go. You can fucking, this is so vague. You can attribute it to anything. Something wonderful is going to happen today. Just be careful you don't close it off or it won't happen. So then if something wonderful doesn't happen, you then walk, well, I must have been closed off. I need to be more open. And then you get off scot-free, right? I feel the same way about karma. Karma is something that if you – there's ups and downs in life, okay? And if you just – you're waiting for something bad to happen, something bad's going to fucking happen. No matter how good you are, something bad's going to fucking happen. You know, buy a brand new pair of sneakers, someone's going to step on them. You know, you're like, well, I sponsor a starving child. I don't fuck around. I'm a good guy. Why did somebody step on my sneaker? Because the world is full of cunts. It's impossible not to run into them. You know, I think karma exists if you believe in it. I think if you don't believe in karma, like you never really, you don't really have any bad shit happen to you. There you go. That's what I think about karma. I am an hour and 17 fucking minutes into this podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's time to end the podcast here. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you guys all had a very Merry Christmas, a Happy Kwanzaa, a Happy Hanukkah, or maybe you just said fuck it all and I'm going to take a few days off. And that is it. That's the podcast. Please, please, oh please. Well, the shows are all sold out. So go scalp a ticket. Speaking of Jim Norton. The man who threw me under the bus, and it took him 10 years to make up for it. Actually, he made up for it when he put me on Down and Dirty, and he hooked me up with Opie and Anthony. But let's say I don't count those, you know, because I'm into astrology. He hooked me up again with this awesome gig that he does every year at the I'm going to screw this up. Down in Atlantic City. And this year he was like, you know what? Why should I take it all for myself? Why don't I share it with some friends? And I'm doing a show at the fucking casino down there in Atlantic City. Why don't I know the name of it? Fucking internet doesn't work in my bedroom. Whatever. It's fucking sold out anyways. But it's me, Jim Norton, Jim Brewer, and Dave Attell. It's going to be a fucking unbelievable night of three shows. If you can't make that, if you didn't get tickets, it's because it's already sold out. My next gig is I'm going to be in Dallas, Texas on the final weekend in January, the week of the NFL Pro Bowl, the 27th, 28th, 29th, I believe, that weekend. I'm going to be at the Improv in Dallas. Oh, I'm sorry, 28, 29, and 30. Improv in Dallas, Texas. Please come out. I got a brand new killer hour of stuff. Anything else? Oh, Red Sox fans or baseball fans in general, you should check this out. Steve Gorman from the Black Crows has his own podcast. Of course, I don't have the fucking link because I'm an idiot. Steve Gorman Sports, SGS, is the name of the podcast. Great podcast. He interviews Kevin Youkilis. And Kevin, he's got a great interview style where he just gets the other person to relax and he starts talking about just all kinds of cool shit. Favorite ballparks, favorite restaurants. If you're into sports, performance-enhancing drugs, Pete Rose, should he be in the Hall of Fame or not? Having entourages, team chemistry, all the shit you want to talk. And it's great. It goes on for well over an hour, and it's totally fucking entertaining. Highly recommend that podcast. Keeps getting better every time I hear it. And that's it. That's the podcast for this week. I'm going to be interviewing Nick Swartzen this week for a very special podcast. And I am also going to the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all, on New Year's Day. And I am going to be stone fucking sober this year. I know you guys are all booing right now because you want to hear the happy drunk stories, but I'm sick of being a drunk on that day. I would like to remember. Like, I went to a game and Sanchez played in USC Penn State. I went to that game, and I had never even heard of Sanchez. That's how drunk I was. And to think that I could have been live booing that guy, it wouldn't have made a difference. They still fucking killed the they still killed Penn State. All right, whatever. That's the podcast for this week. God bless all of you. Have a great week. Don't take any shit, and go fuck yourself. Okay.